Chapter 22 in the Rambam, Halacha Gimel. Again, we're talking about this chapter saying how we collect and primarily land from the borrower or from the lokuchos who bought from the borrower. And we're talking about if the guy wants a little bit of time, the guy said it's a forgery, I need to check it out. We give him some time for him to make, bring the witness, etc., etc. Okay, so now let's go to Gimel, just continuing this idea. Kavalozman, the Bezdin gave the borrower a time to go and look and find the witnesses to disprove it. Lavi raya, levatala shtar, and to nullify the shtar. Okay, and when the Bezdin felt that the guy was a reasonable guy, that he it seemed like he was reasonable, and that the lender is not a bully, that, you know, we don't have to worry about that. So that's fine. He giyazman, and now the time came, veloba, and the guy doesn't show up. So, mamtinin lo, we don't make a decision right away. Mamtinin lo, sheni v'chamish v'sheni. Give him three more times when Bezin is in session, of subs, in order, Monday, Thursday, Monday consecutively. If at that point he doesn't come, lo ba, if he does not come, kosvim lo psicha. We write a psicha. What is a psicha? Psicha is a shtar, a document of, excommunication. An excommunicative document. They write it down, and also, umeshamtin also, and they excommunicate him. It's written and verbal. Okay, well, this is kind of this guy. He asks for time, he doesn't come. It's a terrible thing. Umamtin in law, and we still wait for the guy to come. Now, what happens? Vehu beniduyo tishim yom. And he stays in the state of excommunication for 90 days. Okay? In other words, we're waiting 90 days. Now, if he didn't come yet. He said, I need time. I don't want to collect because I claim the shtar is forged. And I have to go to China to get the witnesses who will claim the forgery. So he say, okay, how much time you need? 2 months? We'll give you 2 months. Now, when the timeline comes, we'll still wait another week and a half. But if he still hasn't come, now we write the document and we declare that he is excommunicated. Now, how long does that state remain? So he's in that state for hubini duyo tishim yom. He stays in that state for 90 days. We'll see why what's happening here. Because we think maybe, we're always trying to, before we really act, we try to delay as much as possible to do this. So he said, well, maybe, you know, maybe there's a reason why that he hasn't come forward so quickly. Could be he was looking, let's say, for those witnesses to prove it was a forgery. Let's say he couldn't find them. So now, all of a sudden, let's imagine for a second that the borrower is telling, the non-borrower is telling the truth. He's saying it's a forgery. Let's assume for a minute it's the truth. We never know what it is. We don't know if it's truth or not a truth. Just because a guy claims with a document, but it does happen, it could be a forgery. So let's say it is a forgery. He says, okay, I know these witnesses, they're in China. Imagine, he goes to China, let's say, he finds that the witnesses are dead.
Dead.
That could happen, right? Especially in China, right? So now what is, now what's he gonna have to do now? What's he gonna have to do now? He's gonna have to figure a way to get the money now. Let's assume he was telling the truth, and now he's come on hard time. And more than that, means he never borrowed it.
He never borrowed it.
So now the Bezdin has got this false star that he wasn't able to disprove. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he has to come up with cash now. You know, so if I, you know, let's say a guy comes to you, Paul, and says, you know, you owe me $100,000, and he has a star with witnesses and everything. Paul. And it never happened, Paul. Aren't you going to try to disprove it first? And then if you can't disprove it, you're not going to come up with $100,000 tomorrow. Especially in those days where they didn't have homes that they could get lines of credit and things like that. So all of a sudden he has to come with the money. So we figure maybe we have to always judge him favorably. So we give him 90 days because maybe Shloshim Rishon, the first 30 days, Shemet Tarech Lilvo. Well, because on the other hand, he said he'd come back. But we're playing it both ways, you see. We don't believe either side. Remember, in a Jewish court, what's the law? Always look at both litigants as Rishayim in your eyes before, and only Tzadikim when they accept the judgment. We gotta assume that either guy could be a liar. So therefore we have to look at the perspective. So if you didn't come back when you said you're coming back, that's not fair. So we gotta do something to benefit the creditor by excommunicating the guy. On the other hand, we're not going to take drastic action because maybe it's not that way. So we give him 90 days. Why the 90 days? Shloshim Rishon, the first 30 days, Shema Terchelis, maybe he's trying to find someone to borrow money from. Let's say he couldn't find to borrow. What's going to be the next thing he's going to do? If you're going to have to come up with the money, surprise, what are you going to do next? Sell your assets. So Emtsoy, maybe the middle 30 days, next 30 days, Shema Terchelim Glor. Maybe he's trying to sell the property because he couldn't borrow it, so now he's going to figure he's going to sell the property. And then Achram, the last 30 days, maybe he sold it, but the buyer needs to come up with the funds. Shemalokech, Memeno Terech, Lavi Mos. He's waiting for that. So it could be, we're giving him another 90 days. That, once we gave him the time to go, plus 90 days, at this point in the game, we're saying, you know what? Unless the guy's dead, he should be here. Now, the fact he's not here, it's most likely he skipped town and he doesn't want to pay back. At that point, we've given him about as much. We gave him the time to go back and forth. We gave him another Monday, Thursday, Monday, and we gave him another 90 days. That's pretty reasonable. At this point, what do we do? Shomim tishayom v'lo bon doesn't come. Bezdim kosvim lo ach drachta. They write in a drachta, and we already said yesterday, a drachta is a document that's a right of repossession.
Yes.
It's a right of repossession of the creditor, and we'll get into more detail on that very soon. And now he's going to be able to repossess without the guy being there. But at this point now, we don't need the excommunication anymore. It doesn't serve any purpose. We get rid of the excommunication because there's no purpose in it anymore.
So I can get aliyahs again.
Whatever. Okay, now.
So can I just ask a quick question?
Yes, sir.
So if he came back and said, I can't find those guys in China.
Hey.
Then he wouldn't be ostracized. He'd just be given the 90 days?
Well, now he's back. We're not going to take away the ostracism.
And we say,
now you have to pay.
No, but as soon as he came back within the time he said he was going to come back.
So and he says, I couldn't find proof.
Then he'd never be ostracized.
Never be ostracized. Only when he delays in the time frame plus a Monday, Thursday, a Monday.
He's AWOL.
He's AWOL, so we ostracize him.
Okay.
But that ostracizing will never be more than 90 days, because one of two things will happen. Either 90 days will elapse, and we write that drachta, or he comes back. He's either going to come back with the money, or without the money. Without the money, we write in that drachta again, on the spot. He says, you know what I'm paying? You know what I'm paying? So I'm writing that drachta. All right? Now, you'll see why. Now, this drachta now takes over, we'll see, the shtar. See, you're going to notice there will be about five or six.
The ostracism shtar.
No, the regular star. You're going to see, and we'll explain why, there's five or six documents that are written till you think, you know, collecting from somebody here who doesn't pay is hard. Times more wasn't so easy either. You're going to see about five or six documents, different documents for every stage that's going on over here is going to be written, as we'll explain.
Wonderful.
Okay, halogadal. Ein kosvim adrachta. We don't write an adrachta at sheshochan olo until we send him word and inform the borrower that we're doing this if we can. And we won't surprise him with this. Now, this is under any circumstances, as we said even before. The guy doesn't have, so, you know, he didn't come to court or he says, I can't pay. He has to know we're doing this. Now, what is the reasonable distance he should be? He has to be within a time frame that the Bezdin can get to him back and forth in 2 days or pachos or less. And the 2 days, the cheshbon is to give the day, to give, 1 second. Where is it? He has enough time to go and inform him. Okay. And then they're going to, so it's got to be within 2 days, time frame to reach it or less. And I guess 2 days back. Yosrael says, if it's longer than that, that's way too much time. Ain't shrikon, though, we don't have to let the guy know. Because remember, Reddy waited 90 days and he didn't come. Right? So therefore, that's it. We don't wait anymore. And that's more emphasized. The man, remember, when does that happen? When do we say we write this adrachta? Either, keshohoya kol hatishim yom nishmat. If during these 90 days he's eluding the Bezdin, in other words, when they want the guy to pay, and he's eluding them for 90 days, Va'omer, and he keeps saying, I'm gonna bring the proof and I'm gonna nullify this. I'm coming. Avalam, that's why we give him 90 days. Avalam, what if the guy says arrogantly, any ball of Bezdin, I'm not going to Bezdin.
Oh.
Finished. I don't like the whole chicanery that's going on over here.
Tough luck.
Miyat kaisim adrachta al nachasav. We immediately write an adrachta. Bein al karkos. Doesn't matter if it's to collect from land. Bein al mataltalin, or whether movable objects which he owns. Okay? Similarly, what if, let's say a whole difference, forget about a loan. What if I tell you to watch something for me? Okay? And I wanted you to, and I'm going to come back in a week and go back. Any one of the four shomrim.
Okay, you're okay.
That you are.
Okay.
Doesn't, I don't care what
one
it
the,
is.
One of the watchmen.
Doesn't, any watchman. There's no loans now. It's a watchman, right? If he's, vechenim hoye hashtar al pikadam. So the guy wrote a shtar, well, we'll see. The shtar draft is going to be on a pikadam. So let's say you say, okay, can I have my thing, I'm here to pick up my thing. Can you give it to me? So the guy says, oh, what thing? Oh, I don't know where it is. Let me look for it. So, Ein Mamtin Lo Shem, we don't wait 90 days. El Kaisen Adrachta al Nechasav Miyad. We write an Adrachta immediately. Now, there's obviously a difference between this and other things, because when a guy borrows money, well, obviously he borrows money because he doesn't have money. And if he doesn't have money back, he needs time to borrow the money. So, obviously, there's time going to be needed over here. But when the guy is watching someone for someone, you know, he can't, elude the guy who wants it for him. He can't say, I don't remember where I put it. Well, then you'd be like a poshea, and a poshea is chayev right away. So that's why an adrachta can be written just for a guardian who's delaying and returning the object, and that could be done immediately. Okay, now, hey. That's what she said. If he doesn't come back in 90 days, we write it a drachta al har karkos. Really, an adrachta, generally speaking, in the case where he hasn't come back, not where he's being defiant, but he hasn't come back, it's only to collect on karka, on land. That's it. Of all metaltalim, but on movable objects, afilu achar tishim yom, after 90 days, even after 90 days, calls mantra, as long as it says, atovi rai vadol shtar, I'm still gonna bring proof and show that it's a nullified star, right? Now, he's not being chutzpedik to the bezdin, still ain marin amavul metalton, we don't take the creditor to collect from his movable objects. Now why? What's the difference between a movable object and a piece of land? Why can't really, can't you collect from anything the guy owns? You were supposed to give me $100. Well, I'm sorry, I haven't got $100. Okay, let me go and take stuff that's yours. And that should really include everything. So, again, if the guy's a mechutzif, then we don't
care.
It's
not an issue.
You're out of the game, man. But here the guy's saying, no, I'm having trouble getting the guys. Well, so listen, we can't let this go on forever. Land, we're going to allow an adrachta to collect on the land. But your movable objects, we're not going to collect. Lawyer, what would be the difference? So Rama's going to give the reasons.
Yeah.
Because what is the inherent difference between a movable object and land?
Well, a movable object is a lot quicker to cash in.
And it can be frittered away. Let's use that, right?
Right.
Land, no matter what, the land is always there. Yeah. It can always be given back.
Right.
So that's the point. Because, okay, so if you let the creditor, for example, take something, so Shema Yochel Asam, he can consume that.
Yeah.
And then after he consumes it, what'll happen then? V'yavaseh Raya, and then the borrower comes back with the witnesses.
Sorry.
To show there was a forgery. V'yavatla Shtar, he nullifies the Shtar. Now he goes to the creditor and says, give me back my tape recorder. Well, I lost it in a crap game.
Crap game.
And well, what else? I don't have anything else. So now, Zaloyim Asam, he doesn't want to take. Therefore, we're reticent to let him collect the metalklim, because you may not get it back.
Sorry, we're not giving out the
record. Ve'afilu hoya l'malva karka. And the truth of the matter is, even if the malva has land, right, and it could be collected, one second,
Shema
tachsiv, maybe the land will be devalued, otishtadev, or it could be a wind blast and destroyed.
Blight, so, I guess.
Yeah. So, one second. So what's this last clause doing over here?
What is mem?
Even if, no. It's like this. No, this is what it means. Okay. You don't allow the malveh to collect the movable objects because you can consume it, right?
Right.
But then you're gonna say, well, wait a minute. Okay, consume it. Well, then we'll just take some of the malveh's land. If he went with the draft and took my tape recorder. And then when I come back, say, well, I sold it, I this or that. Well, okay, but, so we can't get that, but wait a minute, even if he took metalton, let's go take the land from the malveh. But maybe the malveh's land could devaluate, or it could be devastated, and it won't be enough to pay what's back. Therefore, we say, we don't let the drachta collect metalton when the guy is claiming that he still has, when he's arrogant,
that's not
I don't care.
Goodbye.
So we're not concerned he's gonna come later with a proof. That's, you see the point?
Yeah.
So then take what you want. You know, he's not getting it back no matter what anyway, because he's not waiting to get a proof. When we're waiting for him, he's still way beyond the time limit, but he's still insistent. I'm telling you guys, it's so, well, we say, that's very nice. Guess what? We'll take the land.
Yeah.
And you know what?
If
you ever come back and show us that it's yours, you'll get the land back. So that's perfect. We're not going to let him take metaltolin because you can never get the metaltolin back. Okay. Now that we've done this, now we will go now, the next halacha will say, how do we write an adrachta? And we'll see there's two different types of adrachtas written for two different types of scenarios. Ketzad vav, ketzad kosim adrachta, how do we write the adrachta? So if it's for, now remember there's two different ways you can collect an adrachta. You can either collect, who you're collecting from. Either you're gonna collect from the borrower himself, and collect from his land. That's one kind of an adrachta. And then we'll see a little bit later on, a second type of adrachta, where we're going to not, let's say he doesn't have anything, and the adrachta is going to allow us to collect from land he sold.
Right.
And you're going to see, you're going to need to have two separate kinds of adrachtas, because it's, one is going to be a right to repossess a specific thing, and you'll see in a minute a right to repossess in general, but we haven't specified. We'll see what that means. So there's going to be two types of adrachtas. Vav. Kate said, "Kosan adrachta." How do you write an adrachta? So this is the wording. So if it's situation one, imunas chasim b'nei charim. If we're collecting the property that the owner owns, okay, the land that he owns. Horidu, we take him down. Omrim, we say, it's not really say, you understand, we write. We write the following words. This is what's written in the document now. Ish ploni so-and-so, nischayev laploni so, then owes, has been made obliged to pay to so-and-so in the court of law. Kach v'kach, so much money. He didn't come forth with the money himself. V'kasabnu lo adrachta, we now have written this adrachta. Al soda plonis, on this field, this one right here.
Ah.
Because we look and figure out, which field can we collect? Well, this, we the Bezin will say which field. It's going to obviously be one from the Beinonis, and that will be the field. Okay, but we're not so far, far away from the creditor getting anything yet. Because the first thing we got to say is, okay, how much land is going to be taken? Well, you'll say, that's simple. How much money is he owing?
Oh, that's right.
Well, go speak to real estate agents and see how quickly we can appraise the land accurately to make sure that the guy's not giving too little or too much land over here. Now, let's say, for example, he owes him $1,000.
Okay.
And the guy's got a field that's worth at least $5,000.
Okay.
So you're going to give him one-fifth of the field. Right. But what if the field's worth $6,000? What's worth $4,000? Well, the valuation is very important because that will depend how much land of that parcel you're going to give away. So therefore, we have to take our time. So what do? Then shamim lo shlosha. We have three real estate agents come, and they will make an evaluation as to what they feel, experts in the field, that feel what the piece of land is worth. Meosa sada, from that field, kineged chovo, against the debt, that is owed. Now, but that's not enough. Because even though the real estate agents, when you real estate agent says, this is what you'll get for the property, guess what? When you put it up for sale,
you don't get it.
You may get that. You may get more. You might get less. So now, we publicize, and we say, okay, here's a field that, you know, we can't say it's for sale really, because it's not for sale, but it's potentially for sale.
Futures.
We can't just say, well, we just like people to pretend what they buy, because pretending isn't the same as really buying. So, and you know, and Besen probably, during the course of any period of time, could have 7 to 10 fields up for sale, because there's a lot of collections going on. Sometimes it's actually to sell the land to the public to buy, and sometimes it's just to get an appraisal, but people don't know that. So you can say, okay, we're putting it up for sale. People put bids on it, but then we say, well, sorry, it's really not for sale, but now we know what the price is. Okay? Well, you just do that in the general. Yeah, but I guess they know, you know, it's like they auction it, but they don't give it away. Because they want to come with an honest appraisal. And I guess that's, okay. They say, listen, just put bids on this. And then, you know, or better yet, we just say to them, you know, your bid wasn't accepted.
There you go.
You know, it doesn't have to, you know, when you do bids on anything in business, yeah, you do a bid, yeah, whatever. It's the opposite, really, because you're trying to do cheaper. But anyway, but you're doing a bid. Let's say 4 other companies are bidding, yeah? And you spend the whole time, again, you send the bid. Now, when you get the answer, what's the answer to you say? That's it.
That's
Does it say who else got it?
No.
Does it say how much the other guy paid for it? No, but I'm just saying, generally, not.
Private business.
So we just tell people, now, they'll bid, there'll be a number of properties they're gonna bid. Some properties really are meant to be sold, because the best that needs the money, some not. So we just say, sorry, your bid didn't win. That's all. And what do they see? They see somebody does walk into that land, so they're gonna figure that, but they have to do this. You know why they have to do this? To get a reasonable, honest, true valuation of the property.
So we're talking about fair market value?
Right.
Is so big that they just chop off the 100 yards of the field.
Well, they decide what's the most equitable. Yeah.
They can't take the middle and give the guy the...
Well, obviously, they have to do it in a reasonable way. You can't put it in the middle and
he's got to get access to the field where he has.
I'm sure there's a whole other...
In the back part of the field, I mean, the whole field may not be worth
it. So we said it has to be the
Again, if it's totally not worth, then the Besen could just sell the field. You know, again, the pure halacha is he has a lien on the field. These are what we call details. These are details, right? So now, so we call out on it, and we don't give it a lot of time. Kefi mashiru, based on how long the Besen wants to have to see really achi yivsaku hamosifim, to see if there will be people increasing to the value, offering more money for that parcel of the land in an auction style.
So it says below the line 30 days. Shloshim Yom. Mem Hei.
We'll see. That's by different things. That's Nechasim Meshubadim. These are B'nei Chorin. These are not Meshubadim. Okay. You're reading the first line there. Okay. These are that what he owns. We don't give them a lot of time. They just set up whatever they want to say. They don't give 30 days. Okay. Because that's when you take from somebody's land that he bought. Okay. We give 30 days because he didn't do anything wrong. We want to fetch him the best price. Here we're just giving him 2 days. Basically say, okay, we're going to put it up on the auction block for 1 or 2 days just to see that our evaluation was correct. So maybe you'll get a few more bucks. Maybe. Well, let's say you get a bid for a few more dollars. Okay, so now we say that is the price that the entire field is worth. So now we take the creditor down with the debt, and now he will get the parcel of land based on what the price of the land is. Okay, so they give them, and that pays off the debt. Okay, all right. One sec. In lobo, koning be mechir shem shem no satem lo mu vesachem shempo. Whoa, 1 second.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, 1 second. Oh, I see. This is what's happening. Okay, I was wrong. Okay, sorry. Okay, now you're going to like this better. It's like this. If let's say the Besden said the field was worth $1,000. Okay, worth $1,000. So, and if they get nobody comes in on the auction for $1,000, but they really feel it's worth $1,000, then the Besen says, okay, it's worth $1,000 and we're going to give them a certain portion of the field and done with it. If they get a higher price or equal or higher price, then I'm wrong. I made a mistake. The bidders buy it. They actually buy it. Now, with the money, they buy the piece of land, and with the money, they now pay off the guy. And he gets the money. So they actually buy it. So I made a mistake.
If it's over.
Or equal or higher. Less, they're not going to, why sell it for less? They feel it's worth more. Right, could be guys that say, you know, we're not going to offer more, and too bad. So
Shelly feels better now.
Right? So, they sell it, and they give him what he gets, and the rest, goes to the owner. So in other words, let's say it's a big parcel. Let's say the parcel is worth $10,000. He owed the guy $2,000, right? So we get the guys to evaluate. He says, yeah, it's worth $10,000. Now, they put on the auction block. They don't get any customers. So they say, well, as far as we're concerned, it's worth $10,000. We're going to strip off one-fifth of the land, and because I got no buyers. And the guy gets one-fifth of the land. If now you get a buyer, I would imagine even for $10,000 they would do it, right? You get at least for what they said it's worth, $10,000 or more, Now the guy buys the land. The new guy, the bidder, buys the land for $12,000, right? So now we give the creditor $2,000 and give the other guy $10,000, and that's it. Too bad. We have to sell the land. No one's going to want to buy a little.
Why don't they just sell one-fifth of the land?
Well, again, that doesn't look like, because usually they don't do that. That's the whole point. Usually no one wants to buy a little piece of land. Again, the bezel has to see if it's, what do you call it? There's a word for that where you could separate it. There's a fancy.
Sever.
If you could sever the land, maybe. But if you can't sever the land, okay, what if it has to be a minimal amount to make it worth selling. Right? So, and that could be way more than what the guy owes. You gotta say, you know, oh yeah, if you go to downtown Toronto, this much land is worth $100,000, but you can't do anything with it. So you've got to sell a piece of land that's severable, that's usable, that people want to buy.
Your mortgage, the bank sells the house for more than a mortgage is worth. They get their money and give you
right. So this is the way we're able to handle it. Okay, so now that all makes sense now. Now you understand why we're having the people, do this, because now they will indeed buy it. That's how we have to do it. If there's no buyers, let's say a guy will buy the 10,000 for 8,000. Well, then everyone's going to lose on this deal. The borrower's not going to want to do that. They got a property worth 10,000. I'd rather just sever off some of the land and give it to the creditor. Because I don't have the money to sell it. Now's not a good time to sell it. So you sever it off. Okay, so we let him go down. But we got to do one more important thing.
The
current shtarkov. Now we have to tear up the original shtar. Why?
Because you don't want it to recollect.
Because he could go to another bezin or another city with a shtar and collect a second time. And it's always going to happen. We're going to see there's still three more shtars going to be written here. Every time you write another shtar, there's got to be a certain point where the old shtar gets ripped up. But still, even at this point, the guide is not going into the land yet. All we, right to this point, what do we have? It's all set up. Here's the land. The deal was made. The property was up. But the guy has not yet gone into the land yet. There's still a number of steps that still have to happen. But that's one kind of shtar adrachta, because that's when you're collecting the actual land that belongs to the borrower. But now we have another one. What if the borrower did not have any of his own land? And now what happens? We say, well, you now are entitled to collect from any lands that he sold after the loan, right? The guy has no money, right? So they said, what are we going to do? Well, listen, go check out, see if the guy sold any property. Now, who's responsible to check that out? Bezdin or the creditor? Again, the guy comes to court and he says, he owes me money. The guy says, I'm sorry, I haven't got any money. Don't you have any land? I have no land. Do you have any? I have nothing. Okay, so what's the next thing Bezdin's going to do? Well, they're going to say, listen, maybe you've got land that you sold after you made the loan. Well, the guy may not be forthcoming, right? Or may yes, may no. But so the Bezdin says, okay, we want the creditor to have a chance to recoup something. So we're going to write him also an adrachta, but a little different adrachta. The adrachta says, now you, because Bezdin doesn't have time to do private investigation here. Bezdin writes a shtar basically saying, now you, Mr. Creditor, you're going to start looking around and you're going to see if he sold a piece of land after you loaned him the money. And if you find one, then give us a call and then we'll go through a process to enable you to collect from that piece of land. So this is a different adrachta has to be written now. The first adrachta said the borrower is not paying back. The borrower has a piece of land. We write an adrachta that says you are allowed to take this, you are allowed to repossess this piece of land. Now when the guy says, I ain't got no land, but it could be he had land that he sold after the loan. So Bezin writes an adrachta that gives him permission to see what he could repossess. That's a little different type of adrachta because it's not on an established item yet. It's just permission to repossess something. And that's what they write. They write again. So, im lo hayu nechasim nechar, if there was no assets, there's land, no land that he has right there, kosher adrachta, they write an adrachta with a different nuance. It says like this. Ish ploni yischayv leploni kach b'shtar chov sheish b'yodo. So-and-so owes so-and-so so much money with the shtar chov that he has on him. Masal chovo, he didn't pay, v'lo matzo, we didn't find it, and v'lo matzanu lo nechazbe, and he has no assets to pay. Now, at this point, now you have to rip up the shtar, as opposed to only after finding the piece of land you rip up the shtar, because now he can go and collect whatever he wants, so we've got to get rid of that shtar. So
what if he doesn't find anything?
It doesn't matter. Ukvar, but he still has that that thing. Ukvar karanu l'shtar, and we have already ripped up the shtar. Shehoyel of the harem, unesanu l'ploni rishus lidrosh v'lachkor v'lios yoro netuya al kol hanechosim sheyamatzu lo. We give this guy permission to collect from this fellow any property that he'll ever find with this guy and any property he sold from this date when the loan took place. So he's got two things he's allowed to do. Let's say the borrower all of a sudden one day just made a lot of money. Well, he just pulled out that job. Oh, I see you got yourself a new Lincoln Continental. Where'd you get that from? I made a few bucks. It says, here's an atrachta. So you don't need that shtar anymore, you see. We have to rip up the shtar, because if we don't, he takes that atrachta and collects from somebody. Once you've given him that atrachta, he's got free reign, man. He can go to court A, court B, court C. So we rip up the shtar. It's of no value, and we don't want him to have two items of collectability. The atrachta will collect whatever he needs to collect anymore. And he has and or any property he should find that was sold after the loan took place. Then he's able to collect from any of those things. Okay, so we have to do Zion because this is a continuation. After you write this adrachta, so what does the guy do now? Well, the creditor goes, he searches, he does research, if he finds, first of all, maybe the guy really owns some property.
To begin with.
Maybe he owned property. Maybe he lied the whole time.
Right.
So it could be. In other words, he said, the Lovis said there wasn't. You never heard of a person lying?
He's going to say,
let me see. Maybe he's got a farm, 50 miles in Barrie or somewhere. Yeah. So he takes a look for that, number one. And if you indeed find it, shaman lament. We're going to just evaluate that and start the process right there. But if that doesn't happen, if he finds some property that was leaned, that was sold subsequent to the loan, Toref Mahim, he may take it.
Repo.
But now that he may take it, what do we do? Vikarin Shtara Drachta. Now we rip up this exploratory document that allows him to repossess. Because now we don't want him to go to anywhere else. Now we found the thing that he wants. Vikosvim lo shtar hatirpa. We now make a new shtar called a shtar hatirpa from the word toref, to collect. The right of collection. The other one was the right of repossession. But we haven't yet collected. So now you write a shtar. Okay, now we found the land. Here's the piece of land. Now you have a right to collect this piece of land. Now why do we have to do all this? Well, the guy dies tomorrow. So his inheritors have to be able to have something to have the right of collection. And then we're going to stop here. Now we have how do you write that shtar? And there's still a few more shtars have to be written until the guy actually has the money or is in the property.
Surfers make a heyday.